SB Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your small business. Our team specializes in finance and accounting, information and technology, web development, social media, general consulting, HR, and compliance issues. Small Business Tech Guys has over 100 years of joint executive experience in a variety of fields across the small business spectrum. We thrive on assisting small business entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow tech friends. We keep an eye on tech so you don't have to. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Last time we talked about hurricanes because it was real time. Speaking of real time, that means right now. Well, I want to talk about something that's not real time. It's like yesteryear. And it's a sad day in the tech world, ladies and gentlemen. I know most folks might not even realize that they've passed an era. An era is a bygone, if you will. Many of us folks in radio and many of us early tech folks knew about it. Jay's going to catch us up on the details, and then we're going to discuss its relevance, its relation to your life or not, etc. Jay?
Yeah, in August of this year, it came to pass that the FCC has said you don't have to telephone companies, you don't have to do ISDN and POTS line anymore. POTS, as we know, is the plain old telephone system. ISDN stands for Sam, pop quiz.
Tell me this again.
What does ISDN stand for?
I can't remember. That's why I said, what is this again?
I think it's Integrated Services Digital Network, I believe it was.
But
it's
anyway,
what
I can
we
tell you what
radio.
It is, even though I can't remember the acronym, though.
Yeah, it's what we used for a digital phone line in radio, whether you're using data or voice. We'd use a G.722 codec on it if we were doing voice, and you could get point-to-point dial-up connections between people. This isn't like modems. These are digital lines that really ran in 64K or a bonded 128K, and they're no more. They're officially not supported anymore. And so
I can't remember the acronym, but let's think about this. You got POTS, plain old telephone lines.
Plain old telephone system, I think. Yep.
Yeah, plain old telephone system. And what happened is you had copper wires running, and people could then connect, and they could dial on that, and you would dial, and then it would connect, right?
Yep.
And that was your standard voice switch network deal. Well, because we wanted to get better quality out of those lines, they created ISDN, which means it used basically those same lines, but yet they had equipment on both ends that could send a digital stream over that line. Rather than analog, it would send digital over that line. So I'm not telling you the lines are the same. You couldn't just pick up and talk to somebody on the other end. It has to have something that could speak digital, so to speak.
And you know the irony.
My point is, still use dial-up for all that. You dial somebody on their ISDN or their digital line. And if they have enough digital equipment on their end to answer your, digital call, then boom, it would happen. Otherwise, you'd just hear weird computer noise. Right, Jay?
Right. And the irony is, just a single side, a 64K ISDN line still sounds clearer and sharper than anything we have today. It's better than cellular. It's better than VoIP. It's better than POTS lines. It's just amazing how clear it is. And it almost feels like a step backwards. Like, I don't see why we're not, with all of the bandwidth and everything that we have available today, why does cell phones still sound like garbage? I don't get it.
I don't know the answer. Well, I know some of the answer. And I'll tell you the answer in a minute. But it was a 64K channel or a 128K channel. You could literally send speech or music over it, and it wouldn't sound like a phone line. Like, a phone line is like talking through a tin can. It's really narrow and really, it doesn't have enough bandwidth to it. It doesn't reflect the whole spectrum of the voice. So they strip out a lot of the bass and a lot of the highs to give you this narrow,
Well,
7 kilohertz kind of channel. That's what it was on voice.
On voice,
with
yeah.
ISDN, you could use that same line, though, and you could get 64K because you could compress it, digitize it, encode it, send it across the line, decode it, do all that on the other end, and wow, you'd have this killer-sounding studio-quality broadcast. I mean, you could even send stereo over it. And it would sound really, really good.
Well, here's a funny coincidence.
So it was an incredible step in the day. It was many years ago that it came out, but it was an incredible, huge step that was just like revolutionary at the time. When was that, Jay?
When did ISDN come out? In the 70s, yeah. Here's an incredible coincidence. If you're listening to this podcast, you're listening to a 64K stream, right? So the music you heard at the beginning, everything else, that's a 64K stream. You don't get a phone line that sounds like that, not even today, nowhere. Not even in the high-resolution SIP lines and stuff that people are, or the HD quality, they still don't sound that good.
For sure. It is just shocking of the advancement. Anyway, the sad part is, and the reason they don't do it now, is it was called a switched network, as Jay mentioned. What that means is that there's somewhere, and I'm going to do this manually to make the point. I know that it didn't happen manually in our day. But imagine that Jay calls me, and somebody connects our two lines together out of a big old patch bay. They connect the two lines together, and they say, Sam, now you can talk to Jay. Now, that's the real old way in old movies that you see and everything.
Yeah.
But they digitally made that happen, right?
With the operator pulling the cables and patching people together, like in the old days.
And now the switch networks, though, were automated, where it was smart enough to say, hey, Sam's calling Jay, put those two together, and it didn't have to have a human in the middle. But the principle was the same.
Right. Now we don't do that. And now everything is packet switched.
You still have to have, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, enough lines and enough cords to connect, whether it's being done manually by a human or digitally by a computer or something.
Right.
You still have to have that path. And so your question is, why don't they do that anymore? Because they don't want to support all that switching and all those paths.
Right. So if you had, say, 1,024 lines into wherever, New York or some suburb, or that's all you have. That's your maximum capacity. That's where you'd get the all circuits are busy signal. Now with packet switch networks, you don't have to do that. And you can actually lower quality on the fly, and everybody's traffic is going everywhere, and it's just being routed by routers. Using
IPv6. And the difference is we're not connecting wires now. We're just telling when you send something across this network, we have a data layers that are saying, look, this is where this goes. And the data layer gets added when it needs direction, and it gets stripped off when it's already got to its destination. It doesn't need that part anymore. And it all happens on the fly. And the point is, then, you have unlimited capacity if you have unlimited bandwidth, because you don't have to connect wire to wire or anything like that. You just simply have to know where it's coming from and where it's going, and the capacity then can just exponentially increase.
Yeah, and it's easy to scale because you can just slap on more bandwidth, and now all of a sudden you have more capacity.
So that's why they're doing it. The point, though, and this is the point why Jay says that the old ISDN stuff sounded so good, and he's right.
It's sweet, man.
Because
think of Jerry Hughes' voice coming through ISDN, you know, like the old days.
Yeah, that's right. But it's because you had guaranteed bandwidth. You had 64K point-to-point straight through, as Jay mentioned.
Yeah, dedicated bandwidth.
When you do it this way, though, now you don't have dedicated bandwidth, and you don't have real time. When you have dedicated bandwidth, you can deliver. It's not real time because there's milliseconds delays, but it's almost real time. It's a consistent delay,
and it's a low consistent delay. Yeah.
Okay, so when we talk about consistency, there's a delay, but there's no jitter. When you have delays that vary, sometimes long, sometimes short, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that's jitter. That's very hard to manage in a real-time scenario where you're live streaming or you're talking about a voice conversation or a video feed or any of these things. Those delays are problematic. And so now these modern networks that are not switch-based, so to speak, they have to deal with this jitter and this delay. Because remember, if you don't have enough bandwidth, we can slow people down. We can make a packet deliver later. We can decrease the bandwidth, so now you have a thinner stream, which means the quality can't be as good. We can do all these things to make it work temporarily when the system gets overloaded. We've gotten really smart about it. But we're not smart enough, and it'll never compete with the direct point-to-point communications. And so that's why these cell networks don't sound as good. They have codecs that could just narrow the bandwidth and still deliver the audio. But the more we compress it, the less bandwidth we use to deliver it, and the more jitter, the more varying delayed we have to do it, it sounds like garbage.
It's about acceptance.
Because, hey,
people have accepted it, and then they're going to go with the least amount they can get away with. So the more people just accept, well, you know, that's just the way it is, then that's the way it'll be.
But if enough Americans literally went to their cell phone company and said, you know what, half my phone calls sound like garbage. Half the time I can't hear people. It sounds like they're Darth Vader. It sounds like you know, whatever, half the calls I make don't work. The more people that, and you don't need to be rude and complaining, but the more people that let them know our displeasure with it, they can and will do something about it. But for them, it's just a matter of how much can I make everybody happy with, how much money can I bring in? Discussion for these people.
And you have a,
and I don't mean to attack the big corporate world about it. I'm just saying that's the reality, right?
Yeah, and you have a pricing race. You know, you have people like Verizon spinning off Visible, and, you know, they're pushing for the, a lot of people are pushing for the lowest amount of monthly service, and that's how they deliver it. They've got to squeeze in all the calls they can with the bandwidth they have.
No doubt about it. The other reason that a lot of times the network connectivity isn't as good as we'd like it to be. I don't know if you know this, but this is true, and I've learned a lot in the tech world as I run, you know, systems for big companies and stuff like that. I work with a lot of the cell providers for a lot of corporate lines and stuff like this. I don't know if you know this, but if you buy Verizon and you are, let's say, big business, which means you have a lot of lines, and you buy their high-end packages, all data, unlimited connectivity, and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
You're pretty much at the front of the line.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever things get crowded, you're at the front of the line.
They call it priority service.
Priority business customer service. Quality of services is at the top. And if you work for the government, believe it or not, you get the best service of anybody.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, I've got a problem with that, but that's a whole other topic. But if you then buy, let's say, Visible, and you even are, okay, Visible is Verizon still.
Yep.
It's ran by Verizon. It's a Verizon company. But it's kind of pay-as-you-go service. There's no contracts. It's less expensive. It's they give you a lot of the same things. Hey, unlimited talk, unlimited voice, and everything else. But you're now not prioritized at the top of the list, though.
Well,
the government
Visible
folks go. The big corporation people go. And at some point, then the Visible people go, because they're still on Verizon. Then the third-party people go that are even after that, right?
Yeah. Like,
and it doesn't matter day to day when things are fine. But if you go, say, in the middle of L.A. and there's a basketball game, an NBA game, and you're down by the stadium where there's only a tower or two or three around you or whatever, or you end up in a hurricane or something like that, you're going to be in a situation where, hey, that's going to matter then.
Absolutely.
It won't matter day to day, probably.
You know that Visible is totally restructured all their pricing to reflect just what you're talking about. They've done away with all the party plans, and now you have, if you want base rate, it's going to be $30 a month, and if you want that priority with the 5G and with the international call, they're throwing in other things like international calling all around North America and a couple other countries, you'll pay $45 a month, but you won't be getting it for $25 a month anymore with Visible.
Okay, and so there's other even third-party stuff that's even less. They promise you more. But what they're doing is giving you up that prioritization. So if you say your phone calls sound like garbage, remember, you pay what you pay for, you get, kind of a thing.
Yep.
That slogan, you know, people joke about it, but it's as real as it gets when it comes to phone industries. So we are sadly giving up ISDN altogether. You cannot get those digital switch, clear as a bell, awesome lines anymore. And it's a sad day, in my opinion. Because really, especially for us radio guys and TV guys, that's where it was used the most.
Yeah.
Sometimes corporations would use it, too, in their conference rooms because they would have killer, good, clear audio in the middle of their conference table. And when they connect to somebody else, another corporate office on their ISDN or whatever, they'd get great sound and audio out of the speakers and stuff. Whereas it wasn't just a phone call. It was a real high digital voice grade call. It was used for that a lot, too. The average Joe may not have even really realized that ISDN existed or whatever. They might not miss it too much. But guys like me, it's a sad day, Jay.
Same here. Last time I used ISDN was probably 2010, doing radio and stuff. And, yeah, it's just sad. I mean, you know, everything changes, though. You know, you got to keep moving forward.
That's right. And when we say it's a sad day, we wanted to keep ISDN lines, but they just kind of phased them out and raised the cost for them and everything else. Sometimes you had to pay even per minute for them, too, because they were a long-distance call.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have these packages where it was unlimited minutes or anything like that either. Became very unaffordable and expensive. And, again, that's another reason why they're getting retired, because, you know what, the per-minute stuff is just – it's yesteryear. It's expensive, right?
Yeah. And even when we were doing it in the late 2000s, it was still – it was getting kind of old then. So they've really given it a long life. You know, I don't know of anybody other than broadcasters, like you said, that are using it nowadays, because you can get so much more bandwidth with other technologies.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The only way to do something similar now is to get a T1 line, and you have 24 channels. And if you do that point-to-point, you can do a lot of cool things. They'll still give you ISDN, I think, a little bit in those kind of big deployment scenarios. But it's still, with VoIP coming along and everything else, it's getting far and few between, and eventually it'll be completely dead in every instance. And it's just a sad day. We just wanted to celebrate the technology. We wanted to highlight what an incredible advancement it was at the time back in the 70s, and how it lived a great long life. Basically, it lived a good 50-year life, right, Jay, about?
Oh, yeah.
And now it's gone. And what's replaced it is garbage.
Package
no,
switch.
What's replaced it is a lot of advantages. Things are a lot less expensive. They're not regulated per minute. They've developed new codecs or new encoding and decoding devices that they can deal with a lot of the varying delay called jitter, or they can deal with the less bandwidth that sometimes you're given. But they really put affordability of connectivity for a lot of people, and we've really suffered in quality in a lot of ways because of it. But the costs have gone down significantly. Like, you can get a VoIP phone line, $20 a month, that's got unlimited minutes all over the country and with not much more costs. You know, you can do Canada and Mexico and other places for just like $20. And you can get literal virtual phone systems for almost nothing. Before, you had to spend big money for an in-house phone system. And now small companies can sound like the big boys because they've got music on hold and they've got all these different phone tree options and stuff like that that relate to more of like a PBX system. You can get them in the cloud now. And so they've really scaled it to where all that functionality is available for even the small guy. And those are some of the upsides of the new technologies.
I'll give you two examples. I think it might be Straight Talk has what they call a home line system, and it uses a cellular connection, but you just plug your phone line into it. It's $15 a month. And then if you go on Ooma, you can literally get a landline. Now, you got to provide your own network connection on this, of course, but you can get a phone line with a phone number, and all you have to do is pay the taxes, and it's like $6, $7 a month, and you can have another landline, like a VoIP landline.
Yeah, and you can do that. Verizon has that as well. I think their version is $20. And again, the difference is a little better prioritization if the packet network, if the network gets a little bit busy, kind of a thing. But for the most part, it's identical. You got voicemail on it. You've got a phone line. Oftentimes, it even supports call waiting. It's the cell network. So even if your regular phone lines or your power goes out, a lot of times they run on a battery. And so you'd even have a backup in that regard. I mean, it's pretty cool of the things that they've been able to scale and deliver to many people. So even though it's sad that some technology is gone, there's a lot to celebrate. Even though it's frustrating when it doesn't sound good in modern times, we got to just complain politely and have them, you know, pay attention to those things more. But for the most part, a lot of new technologies are coming about because of these packet switch networks that have really blessed a lot of people. Like I mentioned, bringing the big PBX or big phone feel to the small business is one of them. The ability to get an extra line in your house or a backup line for $15 a month, that's unheard of, especially when it's on a cell network and a backup. Even if the you can put it on a battery, and even if things go out, oftentimes you're still up and running. I mean, it's very amazing of the things that they've been able to do. So we got to give them credit, at least societally speaking, for the advancements being made as well.
It's true. Yep. And with progress, there's always trade-offs, but there's probably more good than bad. I mean, even though I complain about the call quality, just the way they brought it down in price and availability to everybody, that's definitely worth it.
They always talk about you got the awesome plan with all the data and everything else. I want one plan that says you won't have your phone call dropped plan. And I'd pay $10 a month more for that any day of the week if they just not dropped my calls. Because oftentimes I'm on hold for an IT issue and I have to wait a while to get somebody. And then I get to somebody to explain all my issues and then I'm gone. Oh, if you want to make me mad, that's how you do it, right? So that's the most frustrating. So they just need to get a plan that just says, hey, we'll make sure your call stays connected. Even if we lose the connection, buddy, without even pressing a button, we'll make sure you're back where you were.
It couldn't be that hard to hold a call and reestablish it if there was a momentary break.
That's right. I think that they could, on the head end, they could hold the call and it wouldn't be disconnected. Yeah, I might not be there to deliver my voice for 10 seconds or whatever, or 5 seconds while it renegotiated and reset me back up. But they could do a lot of those things if somebody spent the time on the technology, for sure. And that would be my plea going forward. All right, that's a wrap. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully it wasn't too boring for some of you folks, but we really believe that's a technical issue and or an era that ought to be at least celebrated and looked back at with gratitude and appreciation. And we'll look forward with appreciation as well, right here on Tech Watch Radio.